everybody. Welcome to the Patty G Show. I'm your host, Patty G. We are here with Jacob Dugas, founder of Small's Sliders. We are going to be talking about some quick service restauranting, shipping containers, getting creative with a very little bit amount of space, and also swag, you know, the stuff we all get or want. And we're here in the Philia Focus Studios podcasting recording space. And big thanks to our wonderful sponsors for making this possible: Government Taco, Philia Real Estate, Horizon Financial Group, Currency Bank, and Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge. Thank you them so very much for making this possible. And without further ado, Jacob, welcome to the show, man.
All righty. Appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Good. I'm happy we're able to get you on and take you away on this Mardi Gras in Louisiana. I know everybody outside of Louisiana is like, it's just another Tuesday.
Yeah, I saw all the posts on social media.
Yeah, but to us, it holds a special place in our hearts.
That's right. No, absolutely. Love Mardi Gras. Love it.
Oh, yeah. It's a unique time of year. I want to go down to like the Alexandria area and do some chicken chasing, man.
Oh, yeah.
Do the Cajun style of Mardi Gras.
Oh, it's awesome. I've never been, but I've heard awesome things about it.
Yeah, I've heard Mamu can get pretty wild.
Yeah, get wild. Absolutely.
So, man, what do you do, Jacob? What is Small Sliders?
Man, I don't even know. we do a lot, but you know, we keep it really, really simple. We do one thing. You know, it was a crazy idea back in 2018. And we're four years now. Two locations, a lot more on the horizon, and it's just it's been a wild ride, but it's been fun. It's been awesome.
That's exciting. Yeah. So you didn't start in the model you're in now. You started in like a food truck?
So kind of.
Okay.
So I could kind of walk you through the timeline, I guess. So Brandon Landry, owner of Walk-Ons, me and him, he's actually my uncle. My mom was my mom was 16 when he was born. So we grew up more like brothers.
Sounds more like a cousin than
that's
an
right.
uncle.
Yeah. So we've been close in age, and we were talking about a bunch of different concepts, you know, like what we could do. And he was so busy with walk-ons. I was more bugging him. Hey, I had that entrepreneurial spirit, you know.
Right.
All my uncles, dad, sisters, mom, everyone's been self-employed. So that was my dream, you know, was to be self-employed. So Brandon just had, he's so well connected and in the Baton Rouge community. And we just, I just knew I wanted to do something entrepreneurially. So we started going down that road. And I'll never forget one day in January 2018, he called me. He's like, man, I think I got an idea. So I was like, all right. So we actually met at Walk-Ons. And it was the cheeseburger slider. He's like, let's just focus on doing this, you know, focus on people, doing one thing really, really well. You know, keep it really simple, simple on purpose. Is kind of our thing. You know, we keep it super simple. And so I said, I was actually working at an engineering firm here in Baton Rouge at the time.
Engineering.
I'm not
to
an engineer.
Chef.
Yeah. So it was quite the change, you know, from management of engineers to burgers. So, but I knew I wanted to do it. You know, I just had that itch that I wanted to be self-employed and just take that risk. And so I was like, man, I'll do whatever it takes. I'm in. So we started the process, and that's kind of when we brought the food truck in. And we're like, it wasn't really like, let's see if the food truck works and then we'll go brick and mortar. We always had the vision of brick and mortar, but we went in on Baton Rouge and sampled the product. And that's when we saw the reaction from people, just that fresh cooked order, you know, that we have no heat lamps. You know, the patties are, we make our patties fresh every day. And we just saw the reaction when people take a bite and they're like, oh my gosh.
it's different.
That's right. And it's just a burger. Like it's how we do it. You know, we have special processes, and it's just that idea of consistency and quality is just what we cater to. So we started bringing the food truck around. You know, New Year's Eve of 2018 going into 2019 was the first event we did. We went downtown Baton Rouge, and course just sold out. It was wild. we just couldn't
sliders
cook.
New Year's Eve was, downtown Baton Rouge. That's a recipe for success.
Exactly. But it was an idea, and it just it's blossomed into something awesome. So I go through the whole story if you want, but
yeah, hey, that's what it's what here for, man.
So it was January 2018. Like I said, I was working at an engineering firm, and I was like, man, I'll do whatever it takes. This is I love this. Like, this is what I want to do. And so there was actually another it was a chicken concept that's closed on Sundays, Chick-fil-A, that they were actually opening a location in Baton Rouge. And so I was like, man, that I just want to learn from the best. You know, like there's these better quick service brands that are just doing it right. And you could tell just their people and the way they do things is just right. And
they build this cult following.
That's right, yeah.
That they move. It's like they move with the locations.
It's wild. It's wild. And I mean, Cane's, Chick-fil-A, they just do it right. And that's, so I was like, I want to learn from the best. So I had my day job. And then at night, I would go work at this Chick-fil-A. And
you actually worked at a Chick-fil-A?
Oh, yeah. I did it. I was slinging chicken in the back.
And so you're just like a line cook or something?
Yeah, I was in the back. Just learn how they do things. And it's just such a great culture, what they have. You know, it's the people, they care about what they do. And it was an awesome experience. I was there for about 2-3 months. Met some really great people in the process. They kind of knew what I was doing, I guess. But
they knew you were coming really
right.
as a spy.
Right.
Learn your ways,
exactly.
And then go and take it and do something with it.
But, you know, they were willing to teach me whatever. And it was awesome. So we did that. And at the same point in time, we started getting some more outside help. Like, hey, this is our idea. We want to keep a small footprint, keep it simple. And we really think we can do this right. You know, focus on our people, our process, the whole thing. And so we brought in some other people, and the local Baton Rouge people, Scott Farguson, Joe Lewis, they kind of came in, started helping with us. And then also everyone's favorite quarterback, Drew Brees. Brandon has a relationship, obviously, with walk-ons, and we were just talking about it. Brandon was talking about it with him, and he's like, man, I love the idea. So like, man, we're kind of really early on. I don't know. We're not
like
there yet.
We're on a whiteboard still.
Right. And he's like, no, I love it. So he's like, whenever y'all are ready, let me know. And so this was July of 2018. And yeah. So my wife, we had our second child due in July of 2018.
Wow. So you're working in an engineering firm.
That's right.
Working for Chick-fil-A, slinging chicken.
That's right.
And
One kid, one on the way. Yep.
With a whiteboard at home with this big idea in bold letters, and your wife's just looking at you like, Jacob.
Oh, she's the real all-star here.
Jacob.
Yeah, absolutely. She knew, and there was no hesitation.
That's
from her
awesome.
Either. That was really the big part. It's like, if this is what we want to do, let's do it. So we jumped all in. But it was funny because it was July 2018, and we told Drew, we're like, hey, we're at that point now. We're ready to take the next step. We're ready to really move Smalls forward. And he's like, well, you know, training camp starts in a couple weeks, so why don't you just come down and, you know, we'll talk through everything. So I was like, I'm a huge sports guy. So I was just awestruck.
Saints?
That's right.
Can I come today?
That's right. So my daughter was actually due like July 23rd. And Drew was saying, y'all come down. I think it was like the 25th or something. And I told my wife, I was like, look, I understand our child is due, but I'm going to the Saints.
This is bigger than our kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we actually had our daughter the week before we went.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
so it worked out perfect. And so we went in and met with Drew and really solidified the team. You know, met in the tight end room. I'll never forget it. It was one of the coolest experiences ever. But, I mean, he's just such a genuine person. The team was really set. You know, like everyone was really in, and that's kind of – we all cared. We all knew – we understood the vision. We wanted to keep it simple and just do it right. And
so you had the whole team in place before y'all even broke ground anywhere.
That's right. That's right. And I was gonna be on the ground floor making it happen, whatever it took. So fast forward to the end of into 2018, we started doing all food truck events, and we did St. Patrick's Day in Baton Rouge at Uncle Earl's. It was
that's
awesome.
So
people kind of started knowing about the brand, and then. Yeah. Everything really started rolling. We were trying to open before football season. You know, of course, the infamous 2019 football season. We tried to get open as soon as possible, but we actually opened September 13th, 2019. I think they had played Texas. They already played a few games, and it was like their second or third game, but we opened up on a home LSU football game, and we're right. Our first location is right across from Tigerland next to the Tiger Stadium, so it was wild. Ran out of product. It was just, we didn't have enough of anything.
The good story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 30-minute ticket times. There was probably 300 or 400 people on our patio.
30-minute ticket
times? Oh, It was terrible. We had no idea, really, what we were doing. You think it's simple cooking one thing, but it wasn't. It was just like, we just got flooded. And so that's when I was just like, okay, we got to really bear down. And that's when we did. So the story just kind of goes from there. And here we are today.
I love that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, position yourself in the perfect situation. Mm-hmm. LSU football.
That's right.
Couple games under our belt. We're winning. The state is on fire for the team.
Awesome.
Everybody's going to be there. And then you're right across from Tigerland.
Yep.
And it's, let's go get a new, this new place is out.
That's right.
You catch everybody after the game.
Yeah.
And you catch the college students even later after the game.
Absolutely. And that was kind of the exciting part. I was just doing whatever it took. That was kind of I'm going to do whatever it takes. Because at the end of the day, we're serving sliders, but it's really about people. So we're just trying to get good people, promote the brand, get that cultish following that the really good brands have. So, I mean, there were sororities coming, we want 600 sliders to deliver to our exchange or whatever. I was like, look, I'll personally bring it over, but you got to get a video of the whole bar chanting, "We love small." So we just started doing those things, and people started doing, like you were talking, small Sundays. They would come on Sundays to smalls or Saturdays. And that's how we started building that following and realized that that's who's paying the bill is the guest, and that's what we're all about. And it just blossomed from there. It was awesome.
Well,
good to see.
Like we were talking before, when you have a simple product line that is easily repeatable over and over again and you've got it perfected, you can focus on everything else.
Yep.
You can focus on making sure the brand gets to the point where people are in the drive-thru saying, "Hey, I'll buy the shirt off your back, please."
Absolutely.
Like, get me something that I can represent this brand.
Absolutely.
Because they love the feeling that comes along with it. Like, the product's simple.
That's right.
But it's the feeling you get when you go there.
Absolutely. And that's, we actually say that in our orientations to every squad member that comes through. We tell them, "Hey, look, we're never going to change our menu. We promise we will keep this simple so you can focus on those little things. The little bit of a guest experience, just when someone comes through the window, we encourage our squad to say, you know what, that is an awesome car. Like, your dog is so..." Just talking about...
They do talk about my vehicle every time I'm there.
We try and promote those because those little things make a difference.
Wait, it's like subtle feel-goods.
That's
and you're
right.
Like, oh, man.
That's right. The thanks for sliding through. Just... You try, and it's four words or three, whatever it is. The simple vocabulary. Thanks for sliding through.
Yeah, four words.
that simple vocabulary, it's just different. It's a different experience, and that's what we strive for. And like we say, we keep it simple on purpose. This is not by mistake. We would love to add different things, and we would probably get more guests, but we wouldn't be serving as good as quality, and wouldn't be as fast, and wouldn't be able to focus on those little things. And like we were saying earlier, whenever we get cars pulling the drive-thru, they're not getting the salad, the chicken, the fish, the shrimp. They're getting a cheeseburger slider. So we're cooking that one protein, cooking it to order,
exactly,
making sure it's fresh. So that's been the exciting part. People have really agreed with the product.
Well, and when you look at all or a lot of successful QSR brands, quick service restaurant brands, they all have either a tagline or a phrase they all say.
That's right.
Chick-fil-A, "My pleasure."
Right.
Cane's,
right.
Hey, "Want some chicken today?"
Yeah.
Thanks for sliding through.
Yeah.
Small. So you have that tagline where when you're talking with your company, you're talking with your employees and your team, your squad.
That's right.
And you're letting them know, you have to ingrain this in them. It's building on the fact of the subconscious of the consumer. And it sticks with them.
Absolutely.
So when they think of where we want to go today, they're going to think of the places that their brain's going to bring them to that pleasant zone.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have the most recent pleasant experience.
Absolutely.
And if they have a pleasant one every single time, you get to the point where, I think I was at the Blue Bonnet location a couple weeks ago, and we sat in line. We sat in line for like 15 minutes,
right,
and it was like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's okay. It's happening.
Get better. Yeah, absolutely.
It was so busy, and that was the day y'all were doing the give back with the Special Olympics and everything.
Absolutely.
And that's another thing. Y'all are involved in the community.
Yeah.
You have three locations may seem like a lot, but when you're looking at this model of restaurant, it's not.
It's not,
And you're already at the point where I think y'all were doing like 100% of all proceeds.
100%.
Not even profit or whatever.
Absolutely.
It was incredible to see it.
So that's another thing from day one. We're going to keep it simple, and we're just going to be really, really involved in the communities that we're in. Because we are a franchise concept. That's how we're going to grow. But we're going to get with the right people who are aligned with our values. And we have to walk our talk, because at the end of the day, we have to know what we do makes a difference. And that's where our small burgers make a big difference. That's kind of our big thing that we do. So, we partner with Special Olympics Louisiana. For every grand opening event, we're going to do some type of partnership like that. But we gave 100% of the proceeds. And the athletes were out there, and it was just awesome. It was busy. And it was good. But people, again, got to taste the product and really find out who we are to our core. Every part of our senior manager team was out there. We're a young company, but we already have a CEO, development officers, marketing officers, all kinds of different directors. So it's, we're growing from the inside out. We want to be able to support. We don't want to outgrow ourselves, because there's a lot of attractiveness and attention to the brand right now, but we got to grow at the right pace, you know? So we're hitting all those things. We're going to stay true to who we are. Cause again, like we were talking before the show, when COVID hit, beef was hard to get, you know, like labor was hard and all the production facilities across the country. So that's when we kind of took a step back and we're like, well, is beef the only thing we serve, you know? And at the end of the day, we said, yes, like that's what we're going to do. We're going to do one thing. We're going to stick to it and stay true to who we are. And we're going to give 100% of our proceeds back, no matter what it looks like financially. That's just who we are. And I think it resonates with people, and that's how you build a brand. That's what we're trying to do. So it's fun to be a part of it.
Yeah. It's you're not pivoting on purpose.
That's right.
You're making sure that, again, going back to those core principles of simple and making sure when people come, they know what to expect.
Absolutely.
They're not going to get a different slider every time they come. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be the same exact thing with a few lanyap options, and that's it.
Oh yeah. See, we tell everyone that is interested in a franchise or however we're going to grow, we tell them we're never going to do an LTO, a limited time offer. We're never going to do 2-for-1, you know, because we don't want to cheapen the, we want our guests to want to pay full price. You know, like that's something that we pride ourselves on, that people are coming for the smallest experience. And it's just, it's proven to be true. just stick to your guns and do it. And Brandon he's so creative and a true visionary, and that's why we are where we are today, in my opinion. So it's fun. It's awesome.
So how did y'all get into the sea cans?
You know, that was something, I think Brandon actually saw it in Austin. Like there's a container bar park, I think. And yeah, a lot of people started doing it. And
because we've had Cameron Jackson, who owns Millennial Park.
Yeah.
He came on, I think, a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And he did the same thing, sea can model, because it was cheap, quick.
Yeah, yeah.
He could get in there with a side grinder, cut it up, right, and have a restaurant.
That's right. Yeah, that was the idea. It's just not as cheap as we thought, because you're stuck in a certain, you know, these things are 8 feet wide, you know, then you put in insulation, then you're at 7 feet. Then there's a lot of things that we figured out, but it's that modular sea can design, that orange container on top has become a branding symbol for us. Interesting enough, like everyone just,
it sticks out.
It's our golden arches kind of thing, you know? And so that's our brand image. And as we're starting to go into different municipalities, they're saying, we can't do sea cans. So we're trying to, you know, how can we clad it with different exteriors or do different things to it? But that's our brand image, that bright orange, you know?
They really don't want sea cans in some places?
Yes, they don't want it. I never would have thought that either. But, and again, it's hard to get sea cans. It is. It's getting harder and harder to get them. But
is it?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just supply chain issues, I guess, with everything else.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's wild. But
that's so how did y'all, going back to the beef shortage, what did y'all do to kind of combat that?
You know, We didn't raise prices. You know, we didn't have a surcharge at the window. We just said, look, COVID was an interesting situation in general, because we opened September of 2019. So what is that, 6-7 months in?
Yeah, because it happened Mardi Gras years ago.
March 2020. So that's when you really sit down, and kind of one of the things that I've learned over time is to expect the unexpected. Like nothing ever happens the way we thought it was. But no. I mean, immediately one day we had guests. I think it was, I remember, because it was, it might have been a little bit like the students were, they hadn't canceled everything yet at LSU. So we still had students around, and we had our customer base still there. And it was St. Patrick's Day. And then the next day, everything was gone. Everyone went home. Everything was shut down. And they were like, okay, apparently we can keep our drive-through open. And we didn't really have brand recognition at that point. The only people that knew about us were students, and they were gone. So we're like,
they all went home.
That's right. So we're like, so man, what do we do? So we kind of took that grit attitude, and like, we're gonna do whatever it takes to make it happen. And everything started popping up in the neighborhoods with food trucks, and we're like, hey, we got a food truck, you know. So we started
start relive the glory days.
That's right. And people just wanted experience, and they were so grateful they would pay us to come to their neighborhoods. And I was like, man, I can make payroll. I can keep people extra employed. And we really didn't, we worked around and tried to get different, we just wanted to get product to serve to people, because people just needed that escape to come to the drive-through, and I wanted to keep people employed, and that's, we just did what it took. So literally 3-4 times a week for probably 7-8 months, we were going to neighborhood. We went always St. Francisville, Gonzales, anywhere in the greater surrounding areas of Baton Rouge, just to feed neighborhoods. And so we took the food truck out, and we started seeing those same people come through our drive-thru. And then all of a sudden, really at this time last year, it started getting nuts. People just really, we got better at what we did. You know, we made a few slight changes to the menu, nothing monumental. The fry change was one, and we added our smoss to the burger because it was a side option, and then so many people got it. We put it on the burger, and ever since then, it's been madness. We've been getting better every day. You know, that's the exciting part about, I love the operational piece. You know, the how many cars can we get through, and the customer satisfaction, really talking to guests. Like, we're starting to put someone outside the pickup window, and you start line busing drinks. So it's just a different interaction you get. It's face-to-face.
It is. You've been out that window.
I've been outside of the window. That's right. And we try and take 100% of our orders on a tablet outside. You know, I mean, Chick-fil-A has proven that that model works. It's just, it speeds up your process, and it's a guest interaction. So we pride ourselves on unexpected guest interaction, and we get that all the time. Like, what is the unexpected guest interaction? Yeah. It's the slight things. It's thanks for sliding through. It's being outside, taking that order, being face-to-face, not behind a speaker box. You know, it's just a next level of service that we do in such a simple operation. Just people don't expect it. And that's where, like, when we first opened, we only had one location. Everyone would come up and be like, so where are all these things around the country? And we're like, oh, this is the only one. You know, and that, I took pride in that.
This is it.
Yeah, and I took pride in that because that was something that, you know, we always try to act like 1,000, you know, as far as 1,000 units. And we always knew that if we did everything right, and I'm sure we didn't at some point, but if we just control what we can control and do what we do as best as we can, that the guests would accept us, you know, and that's what's happened. But yeah, COVID was wild. It was wild. And we slowly started getting, you know, the LSU student base back, but all of Baton Rouge was huge supporters of us. We started getting people driving in from Lafayette and New Orleans. Like,
that's
I'll never
drive.
Forget one time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll never forget one time. We brought our hours back because we used to be up until 3 a.m. over there across from Tigerland.
Oh, yeah. You kind of want to be. Make sure you get that post-bar crowd.
And so we brought our hours back to 10 p.m. And there was a car full of people. I'll never forget. It was like 10:30, and we had shut everything down already. And they're like, they pull up and like, y'all are closed. And I was like, yeah, we COVID hours. We brought it back to 10. There might have been a curfew at that point. I don't even remember. But they're like, man, we drove in from New Orleans for this. I was like, you know what? We fired back up the grills, cooked them their slides. It's just those little things. And we saw those people come back 3 or 4 times. You know, so it's those little acts go a really long way.
Well, because then they tell everybody else, y'all, we pulled up the sliders, it was 10:30, they reopened the store for us.
That's right. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who be like, they didn't do that for me. It was kind of a weird time.
Look, it's a one-time thing, all right? Can't do that every night. Then you never send people home, and then you start getting your staff complaining.
That's right.
I had to refire the grill. Why don't we expand our hours, you know? That's how you solve that problem.
I know.
Yeah, sorry, if you show up at 4 a.m., sorry. They have to sleep.
Yeah. But that was another kind of, I guess, a point of validity in the business is we had stayed open until 3 a.m. And then we had our staff was just getting, they were so busy and it was hard to get people, and we didn't want to wear them out. So we only brought our hours back to midnight, and being across from Tigerland, probably not the best business decision, but, and people would come and be like, man, you're just losing dollars. And I said, well, I want to take care of our people because I don't want to wear them out, getting home at 4 a.m. Like, those dollars aren't worth it to us. We wanted to make sales
you're not,
grew.
You're not dollar focused. You're people focused.
That's right. And then it kind of turned into the Chick-fil-A effect. Everyone knew we closed at midnight, so we would get crushed right before midnight. And the crew was there, our squad was happier, and it just worked out. You know, I mean, eventually we might go back, but we've gone from a late night brand. I guess that was the validity point I was going to. That the original idea was, hey, at least we'll get some late night sales. You know, like, no one will give us kind of a negative review at the end of a night of a bar, you know. But late night sales were less than 10% of our sales. We were getting all kind of lunch and pure dinner traffic. People were coming to get meals, not just late night food. And that's when it really got exciting, because you always start wondering where else would this work, you know, because you're next to a college town. And
is it just a post bar food?
That's right. And we quickly found out no. You know, that is a quality burger, and all ages come. I mean, we see 7-year-olds and we see older people coming through. It's just, there is no target demographic for us, because there's a wide range of people that come through, and that's the exciting part. You know, that's why our second location on Blue Bonnet, we see everything, every age group. It's exciting. People coming through getting pure lunch and dinner meals. So.
Which that location in Bluebonnet was so intriguing to me whenever I first saw it.
Yeah.
I heard like there was, I mean, Baton Rouge, A, is a small town.
Yeah.
And then like when you already have existing connections to people doing things, you start hearing these rumors and you're like, wait, are they really going to put something in a parking lot?
It was wild. Like, I didn't believe it at first.
That was weird. I kept driving by and I was looking at the space. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's a very small space to put a restaurant in. And then we started seeing the construction go up, and I'm like, this actually might work. Mm.
No, that was kind of another proof of concept type deal that we fit on less than a half an acre, you know, in the middle of a parking lot where not a lot of concepts can go. And then we can do some really good volumes, you know, and that was our second store. We did a double lane drive through, and there's been some learning experiences, you know, or we've had to try and get a lot quicker than we are, but we knew if we were in this small space, cars would queue and all of a sudden be out of the parking lot. So we went with the double drive through model, and we've seen a lot of improved operational efficiencies from it. So, but yeah, it's middle of the parking lot, literally nothing else can go there, and we
know,
you know, and that's what's really exciting about the growth model is we can go a lot of places other people can't. But the problems we're running into now is the volumes are much higher than we expected. And we don't have room for product.
Traffic.
That's right. Traffic. We don't have room for product inside the building. So we're having to get a lot really creative with our building and the construction and the design. But these are good problems to have. You know, going from one store to two was a big jump because you have to have every process. Everything has to be nailed down to where everyone's doing it the same. And we're still fighting inconsistencies, but we preach consistency every single day. And I think that's what's going to get us over the hump.
Yeah, and that's, they say what, going from one to two is harder than going from three to 200.
Yeah, yeah.
That one to two. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like y'all had the team in place before started.
Right.
But building that team so, you know, Jacob can't be at both locations at the same time. You have
that's
to
right.
trust the team in place that they can handle it and will be consistent
that's
time
right.
and time again.
And our squad is so awesome. They get it. I don't have to worry because they're just problem solvers. And I did not leave every problem solved for them. There's a lot of problems that they're solving, and they're just so strong. And that's what's exciting to see. And it just attracts talent. That the people that are coming in that want to grow this brand with us, strong, strong restaurant operators, just good people. They care. They care about the communities. They are just all bought in. Like, I don't want to do a fish slider or a pork slider.
They see the potential
that's
it
right.
has.
It's just the simplicity is the best things, in my opinion, are so, so simple. Like, those are the things that you remember, and we can be consistent if our margin of error is just so much smaller, you know? So it's exciting, and it's just, it attracts really good people, and that's the fun part. I love operations, and I love people. That's what I love to do within Smalls, just the people that I've met, the things I've been able to do, in this short amount of time. We're only 2.5 years old, you know, and
still a very young company,
really young. And it's just fun. Based out of Baton Rouge, it's just the models out there, you know, like we talked about Canes, like that's a pipe dream for me. Like they've just done
100 locations in a year.
Yeah, they've done everything so right, in my opinion, that it's just cool to be another Baton Rouge brand that's looking to make an impact on the country, you know,
right, and take it to the next level, and
that's
then
right.
be that. Be that brand where people are seeing you. Hey, when you coming here? When you coming here? When you coming here?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's the fun part. That's the fun part.
I love that. So is the top can, the orange can, is that empty?
It is. Everyone asks that actually. So we can
use that for storage.
We could. There's just a lot of safety requirements that have to go into that. It's just a lot of risks that I don't know if we want to assume right now. But that is actually an idea. I mean, that's a.
Could you do like an elevator?
Well, they said for us to do it, you have to have like a cage staircase, fireproofed, air conditioned, the whole thing.
Then you gotta have an exit to the outside.
That's right.
Yeah. Then it's not as aesthetically pleasing with a staircase.
That's right. Okay. But yeah, we actually, our Bluebonnet location is a 20-foot container. So containers come in, I think there's an 8-foot, but basically 20 and 40-foot links. So our second location, Bluebonnet, has 20-foot, and we're gonna move to a 40-foot just to. That's our prominent brand image, our signage. Like, you might need it for storage. So that's a lot of brands do that, do vertical storage. But yeah, that's a really cool part. It costs a little more, but it's a brand image that we want to keep consistent.
And it's also unique, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many C-can concepts are there outside of Smalls and the one-offs? You know, it's going to be like a Seacan Park where it's going to be a bunch of them. It's not going to be a location like Smalls everywhere with little Seacans.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure we'll have to adjust, you know, some aesthetics, but we're going to keep, that's our, as close as we can get to that brand image. That's what we're going to be, you know, everything from, we're wrapping our food truck now, kind of a new, just some cool design, but we've wrapped it in basically like a container material. So it looks like a shipping container on wheels, you know? But the food truck's awesome just because that's our pure marketing, is just letting people try it. Just when they take a bite, they understand it at that point. You know, we melt every piece of cheese over the patties. No, we're never going to serve a stiff piece of cheese on a burger. We steam the buns on the grill, make sure they get nice and soft. Like that's just, that's what we do. And it's exciting.
Yeah. It's exciting. And I mean, and that from a content creation standpoint alone is just,
that's right.
Like so many videos come to mind of what you can do with that and how creative you can get with it.
Oh man. Yeah. The alliteration and the puns are never ending with Smalls, you know, with the Sandlot and everything that goes with it. It's
y'all
should
do a collab with him.
With Smalls?
Hey, Smalls. Come and work the window or something, you know?
Oh, yeah. We got people in the kitchen. They'll be like, man, you're grilling me, Smalls. Like, you're killing me. So there's just a lot of fun things that they do. And that's the fun part. We just wanted to create something, too, where people could come to work and have fun. And we've done that. And we don't have a lot of turnover. People love coming to work there. And that's also a selling point for growth. You know, it's just a great place to work. They have fun. We play music inside. There's just things that we do that brings it to, it's not work at that point. You know, you're not serving the same burger over and over again. It's, you kind of become a family in that restaurant. And that's what we really were going for. And that's where I think we're striking a chord with our employees and our squad. So it's exciting to see.
Yeah. And I mean, with everybody leaving the food industry or the high turnover that's expected from the food industry, it's nice to have a brand where people don't want to leave.
That's right.
They want to come and they want to stay. And now you're able to overcome and combat that issue of a labor shortage.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's not for everybody. You know, we want to create a culture that you come to work, you have fun, you work hard, but it's okay if it's not a fit. You be a great guest, but it's something where you really become a close-knit group, you know, and it's fun to see. Like I know everyone I go to the restaurants all the time. You know, I'm in there still in the drive-thru window, you know, trying to do my best, but it's just fun to be a part of. Just people. We are in the people business more than anything. You know, serving sliders is just a byproduct of being in the people business. So that's the fun part. And I think if we stick true to that, that's really going to help us grow the right way.
Absolutely. And so was the push to kind of switch from engineering to doing this, I mean, you can hear it in your voice, you can hear it in your delivery. It's very, you're very passionate about it.
Absolutely.
Was it ever growing up, seeing your family doing it, was it ever something that was like forced, or was it just this natural, everybody does that, I see how they react, I see their lifestyle, what they're loving, what they're doing.
Yeah.
I want to be like that.
Yeah, no, it was always, my dad always pushed it. He's like, look, you're not always going to... I don't know if he was trying to tell me something, but you're not going to be the smartest person in the room, and I don't want to be the smartest person
that
in the room.
My dad told me the same thing. I don't know.
But he's like, just no one can outwork you. And just if you have that mindset and if you really are passionate, you can really do anything. So I always knew that's what I wanted to do. I didn't know it was going to be hamburgers or sliders, but I knew I wanted to be self-employed and just have that entrepreneurial dream. It wasn't so much a lifestyle. It was more of just the day-to-day, like, you kind of create your own world at that point, you know, and that was always my dream to do. And I was in the corporate lifestyle and learned so much from a lot of them. You meet so many great people. And that was really, I think, what made me who I was. I mean, I was 30 years old when I started this. So it's not like I was fresh out of college. You know, I went and got some experience in the business. Moved to Lafayette, worked in Lafayette for a few years, then moved back to Baton Rouge. And whenever I got this opportunity, I jumped on it. You know, and that's another thing my dad always said. He was like, look, what you're doing right now is not what might not be what you're doing in 5 years, you know. So just pain is temporary. Get through it and just have. It's all about the journey. So that's kind of what really drove me to do it. You know, I didn't want to be frying French fries at 3 a.m, you know, but I did it.
But it happens.
It happens, and you really enjoy it. Like it really doesn't matter what you do; it's why you do it. The old the TED Talk thing. I forgot what
was it? Find your why and never work a day in your life.
Yeah. So it was just, mine was just people and really, I wanted to be in control of what I was doing. You know, that's kind of what drove me. And you got to have the opportunities, like for Brandon to say, let's do this. And I was like, look, I'm in. And that you have to be given those opportunities, but the door can only be open for you. You got to walk through it. And that's right. kind of what.
Well, and even then you kept pestering him.
That's
like,
right.
It wasn't he's called, hey, Jacob, hey, yeah, man, yeah. I got this great idea. You should come and do it. You were like, hey, Brandon,
absolutely.
I want to do something. Let's make it happen. Mm-hmm. So it's that constant, consistency
that's right.
of, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to start that's this right. journey. Mm-hmm. Let's brainstorm. Let's figure something out. So it was not so much of Brandon said, hey, Jacob, here, let me throw this in your lap.
Yeah, no,
you
know? Absolutely. No,
like
no,
you
no,
worked yeah. for it. Absolutely. You busted it for him and got absolutely. After it, and you found that opportunity. I think something in entrepreneurs that's different than a lot of different people is their mindset, right? Mm-hmm. They're not waiting for opportunity to be gifted upon them. They're actively out there seeking opportunity, finding new ways. I mean, you were working at a engineering firm flipping chicken that you don't even serve chicken. Like, you don't even serve chicken, but you are out there working all that time, doing the effort, putting in the hours to make it happen and build your dream to what is just getting started.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was, I was working 40 hours a week. You know, when you're self-employed, you're working every hour of the week. There's no
time you open your eyes, the time you sleep. Sometimes you're dreaming about sliders.
All the time. I think me and my wife talk about sliders more than anything else. Like probably more than our kids, but even our kids have grown to love it. Like it's just, that's what's exciting. It becomes a family. That's who we are. You know, that's just everything we talk about is centered around Smalls and the people, and people come experience and they let us know that's the fun part, you know? So it's been exciting and a wild ride, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
You know? Yeah. So with the model of iPad ordering or tablet, not iPad, tablet ordering.
Yeah. We use Microsoft Surfaces.
Well, let's see. There you go. Get out of here, Apple. I'm kidding. don't throw the show off Apple Podcast. But like, do you see a day where the possibility of having that pull up menu order from the speakerphone eliminated entirely?
Not entirely, because it's just inclement weather. You got to have it. We can't have people outside, but significant amount.
I mean, or do you just create the coverings big enough so people can be out there?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's kind of where
heaters and fans.
Yeah, at our second location, we built a canopy over the menu board so our squad can be out there taking orders even when it's really hot or raining and things like that. But there's some brands going away from it. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Dutch Brothers Coffee.
No.
They're kind of a Northwest coffee chain. They have like 600 locations. They're just starting to get into Texas and different places, but they are a brand that's like 100%. They want to see you face to face in your morning and make a difference. And that's, they just sell coffee, you know, but they do. That's what they are in their labor model. They have someone they're going to count on someone being outside. We're going to pay people to be outside to take orders, to have that face to face interaction. And that's just, we think that makes a difference.
And you got to carefully select that person for coffee.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You got to find a morning person because you got somebody tired talking to tired people.
That's right. Well, they read their guests. And then whenever it's like, hey, this person needs a coffee quick. You know, they obviously were on the, they didn't want to converse. So they pull them around, get them their coffee, and get them out the line. So there's just, that's where I think quick service and the drive-through model in around the world is going. You know, it's just that better service. That's what people want. They're craving it. It's exciting to see because that's what we're shooting for. And having that face-to-face interaction, and I think that's where it's going. And that's what we're going to try and hit on every single way possible.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I mean, it's always nonstop trying to figure out the next place to go, the next location. And for some people, trying to figure out how can we change the menu. But for y'all, it's no, how can we continue to build on the culture of the team we have here?
That's right.
Because once you have those people, you can't, like you said, you can't go and open 100 locations if you don't have people to staff 100 locations.
Mm-mm. Absolutely.
And it'd be a long drive for you to drive back and forth to 100 locations.
Absolutely. No, it's all about the people. And that's what we try to, we do Christmas parties. We just talked about last week having our crawfish boils, doing things that just gets you out of the restaurants too and makes it more of a family, not a job. And those things make a difference to people. You know, like, as small
as culture.
Yeah, like if someone like you, you hear people say, man, I've never been to an LSU football game. People that are working a mile from the game, and you go and get them tickets, it's just that changes. They just totally have changed their idea of Smalls. You know, it's a people business that we try and care for our people. And it's fun because that's what we're trying to grow.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to grow.
So what made you kind of go down the franchising route instead of opening multiple locations yourself?
Yeah.
Like, was it just a conversation, or was it kind of you didn't want or think that you could handle, you know, the 20, 30 locations at one point under your belt?
Yeah, no. I'm actually reading a book. You ever read Speed of Trust?
I have not.
It's a good. I might be getting the quote wrong, but it was basically saying something like, it's not small versus big anymore. It's slow versus fast. Like, speed to market is something.
Right.
And we're going to do it with people that are, like I said, aligned in our core values. But in the franchise model, I mean, this is their business, you know, that we are supporting and a huge part of, but they are hopefully going to care for it just like we did, you know. And corporate, you have more control for sure from a corporate standpoint. But the franchising model is just a way to grow and grow the right way to where we can focus on those things that we do really, really well and make sure that our franchisees are doing those same exact things. And that's why we kept the brand so simple, to where it's you can mess it up, but it's really hard to. Like,
if you play within the court,
right,
everything should go according
that's right.
to plan.
And what we've seen is you can have a really success doing some serious volumes, serving this one product in a small footprint. That's an easy operation. Just keep it simple and just focus on those small things. And this is literally could be life-changing businesses for people. And that's the fun part. And that's more of a people thing than anything. That you have your people working in the store, but also the franchisees that are coming in, that are buying into the vision and the brand. And so it's exciting. You know, it's hard at times because people are going to challenge you on different areas. Like, what if we did this? And I'm like, well, we've tried that. Or no, that's just not what we're going to do. And
yeah, that's not what we're about.
That's right. But you need that, and in my opinion, to grow, because people are always going to see things differently than I might have seen them from an operation standpoint, or the look of the seat. People might have a different idea of the look, or how we take orders, or how we prep food and things like that. So it's always good to get different perspectives, and that's franchising to a T, you know. And we're still going to do corporate stores, but franchising is just a growth model that we have to really hit these new markets and do it with people on the ground floor. Like, we expect our franchisees to have either them or their operating partners in those stores every single day, not losing touch of what's going on in there, because that's the heartbeat of the business. You know, you got to make sure they're saying thanks for sliding through every single time, you know, and doing those little things that make a difference in what we've seen be successful over here. So, franchising, it's not easy, but it's an exciting path to go down, because you just meet so many different people, and it's just a different growth rate. So, it's just a different way to grow. It's a different business model.
Yeah.
But it's one that, you know, walk-ons does really, really well. Mm-hmm. And we just, we're trying to capitalize on that as well.
Well, and it also allows you to grow beyond your financial means, right?
That's right.
Because you know, if you go, for example, if you go to like Currency Bank, mm-hmm. or the sponsor of the show, and say, hey, you know, Scott, I want to sit down with you and I want to open 100 restaurants this year. He's like, all right, Jacob, you got two locations. No. You got two locations doing great, buddy. Like,
just get to three.
Get to three, and then we'll talk about four and five.
Absolutely.
You know,
let's
slowly build. But if you're able to sit down and say, look, I've got these people that want to invest, mm-hmm. and start having that upfront capital that I, as a single operator, may not have.
Absolutely.
Now you can start getting into different markets, and those people are to be expected to kind of be like the mayors of their own towns, mm-hmm. right? With how involved y'all are supposed to be within the community.
Absolutely.
Now you instantly have a personal connection to someone in that community, mm-hmm. that people are going to say, oh, Joe Smith owns it, or oh, Sally Q owns it.
Exactly.
I'm going to go to their new concept, mm-hmm. and then they're going to see him there,
right?
Because of your guidelines, you got to be in the store.
Absolutely.
They're going to see him, and then it's going to get that Smalls feeling, mm-hmm. everywhere across the country.
Absolutely.
With people that they know and trust.
And just keeping the consistency and the quality and the people side of things. So they have to be bought in. Like, we're not saying yes to everybody. You know, we're going to grow the right way, because you have to understand the vision and the mission and what we're trying to do, because it's so much more than that. You know, it's so much more than just the sliders. It's making a big difference in the people that are inside those restaurants that come through the drive-thrus. And that's what the successful brands do right, in my opinion.
People remember a bad meal a lot more than they remember a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
But they'll always go back to a good one.
That's right.
They'll never go back to a bad one.
They can have 9 good experiences, and then the 10th one, that'll drive them away forever. So it's, you have to be on top of your game all the time. And that's, it's been hard to do because it's hard to be consistent. You would think it's so easy just doing the same thing, but I've seen anything and everything. We have people ask us, do you have peanut butter and jelly sliders? It's like crazy stuff.
Wait.
They're crazy.
Peanut butter and jelly?
Everything. Anything you could possibly imagine. Or my friend came last week and got a chicken slider. I want a chicken slider. I'm sorry. We have never served a chicken slider ever. Or just different things.
Look at the menu. Yeah. Do you see chicken anywhere on
anywhere.
There? We don't have any off menu specials. No, like it's what you see is what you get.
We do have an underground menu though that a lot of people don't know about but are slowly figuring out.
Can we talk about the underground menu?
So we actually thought about putting it on the menu, but we do a grilled cheese.
Cheese?
Yeah, we butter the buns on the inside and we take the cuts of the buns and face them out. Then we sear it on the flat top. So it's a grilled cheese slider, and they're phenomenal. They're so good. It's just the butter. We butter every bun that we serve. So we rolled in real butter and toasted on a flat top. Every single bun. 3,000 a day. We're
That's
rolling in butter and toasting.
It's a lot of toasted buns.
That's a lot of toasted buns. And so the grilled cheese is something that it's really, really good. We put 2 slices of cheese. It's again, really simple, but it's smashed grilled cheese. And then we have a Smalls Way fry. So our Smalls and queso, which is a big seller of ours, we put those over the fries together. And
Smalls what?
Smalls Way. You just ask for your fries, Smalls Way.
Okay.
And they'll put sauce and queso on there. It's fire. It's really, really good.
Man.
Really good. A lot of people, this isn't as popular, but we'll do it. Any kind of Coke float. So we serve shakes. Any kind of soda float. We serve vanilla shakes, chocolate shakes, and cookies and cream shakes. But we'll do a root beer float, Coke float, Dr. Pepper float. People have gotten Powerade floats. It's really good. It tastes like cotton candy.
Hold up.
Yeah, so we'll put a little bit of ice cream in your soda.
No, I'm like, I'm cool with the Coke floats, the root beer floats. You got me on all that.
Absolutely.
But Powerade floats?
It tastes like cotton candy. We have Blue Powerade, Blue Mountain Powerade. It's really good. Really, really good.
It's just my mind. It's like being blown right here. Yeah. Powerade floats.
Yeah. The Biggie Smalls, which is actually on the menu, that was an underground menu, but was so popular we put it on the menu. The double meat, double cheese.
Double meat, double cheese. Mm-hmm. Okay. So fries, Smalls Way.
Yep.
And the grilled cheese and the floats. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to try one of those next time I go. Well, I mean, the grilled cheese is perfect for like parents with little kids, you know?
It's so easy.
If they're struggling to eat, mm-hmm. eat the beef or maybe they want a non-meat option.
That's it.
I'll just have a small. So what is it called? Does it have a fancy name or is it grilled cheese?
Yeah.
Can I have a grilled cheese? See, well, can I have a grilled cheese?
We'd probably need to come up with a cool name, but we're early. We're early. We probably will come up with something. But
cheese smalls or
something? We really try and cater to what the guest wants, although we want to keep it streamlined.
You draw the line somewhere.
That's right. We will do no buns. You know, people just cut just the patties, which is totally fine with cheese, sauce, pickles on it, no buns. That's not as common. People really, our bun is actually a proprietary bun for us, baked in Lafayette.
I was about to say, the bun is a make or break. From a burger and a slider standpoint, bun is a make or break, and at least in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Like they've got a burger joint here in Baton Rouge, I'm not going to name, that was my favorite burger, by all means, was the best. And then they changed their buns.
Oh, really?
And when they changed their buns...
Changes the burger.
It changed the whole burger. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the chefs, or they must have changed something internally, because then the chefs weren't cooking the burgers right, and nothing was going. It didn't fit. Yeah. And so that bread is
huge.
Critical.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we actually started with, kind of tell you a little quality story. We started with a toaster where we would just butter them and drop the buns in there, and they would toast. And it was smashing the buns. We weren't getting a good toast. And then we knew that toasting it on the flat top was going to be the best way to get a nice crisp on the bottom, a soft pillow in the middle, and then your outer top layer. So we said, look, this is going to be a commitment that we have to do, but let's butter and toast every single bun on a flat top. So the top and the bottom, 3,000 buns a day that you're trying roll every single day. So, but it's the quality. I think that's what makes a difference, to where when you bite in the slider, it's the top part, then it's crisp, the crisp bread in the middle, then the meat, cheese, pickle. It's just all kind of the combination of the bite is perfect. So we just make a commitment to quality. We never sacrifice quality for speed. So whenever you did wait that long time when it was busy, they're never going to just hold patties or try and cook a bunch or serve something that's not quality.
And it was fresh. As soon as it was fresh, like when we got it, it was, you sit down, you grab it, and it's like, oh, this is worth the wait. You know, it was never, we walked away, it's like, oh, this is terrible. Yeah, you know, you walk, you got it, you're like, yeah. Absolutely. You know, it's exciting.
And
I
that's where
it.
we teach our guest-facing squad members just to say, look, if it's taking a little while, we want hot fries. So you open the window, hey, it's going to be about 3 minutes on hot fries coming out for you. Just communicate that it's going to take a little longer, but we're giving you fresh product. People will wait for that, you know?
And it's so long as it's communicated to
that's
them.
That's right. Like, you just don't want them guessing, like, what is taking so long? You know, so you got to communicate. That's just something big that in our business is not common, you know? And that's what we try and preach, just over-communicate what's going on. Like, I'm going to hand you your drinks first and repeat their orders. We're taking names outside in the drive-thru. So those little things that we do, you might not notice them, but they make a big difference in the experience.
Oh, yeah. Like names, color of the car.
That's right.
Make, model, that's, you know, right. Mm-hmm. It's all about that customer experience at the end of the day and making sure your team communicates the vision, the mission.
Absolutely.
Of everything in the brand.
We were talking about that the other day about, like, if a car has a big order, do we pull them forward? You know, because we get some ginormous orders, people getting a lot of sliders, which is great. But do we pull them forward? And it's like, well, what does that communicate to the guest that's behind them and the guest that's in the car? If we pull them forward, like, what did the guy behind me get? Like, what, that was so different. Are you cooking his burger before mine? Because that's all we got, you know? So those, we have to think about those things.
You've got limited space. If you, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. If you pull that person in front, it's not like they're getting a different menu item that
that's
takes
right.
less, unless they're only there for like a Coke float or
that's
something.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
that's
but
right.
yeah, I think, it, yeah, pulling them forward is, well, wait, what? They're, it's the same thing. Why am I going? Why
absolutely.
Am I going forward?
There's nothing that
I've,
you can't.
I've already paid at the back of the line. Like, I get it if you pay at the main window. I
right.
get that.
Right, right.
Oh,
right.
We're pulling them forward so they can pay them, and then they can bring the food out as it
nope.
comes.
Nope.
But if you're already paying at the tablet, why am I going forward?
That's right. That's right. So yeah, it's all those little things that add up to just a great experience, you know. And we're learning every day. We're getting so much better. We're so much better right now than we were yesterday and the day before. We're constantly learning and constantly trying to figure out what's the best possible way to do this, because it is simple, but that's what we're trying to do to really grow it the right way.
Yeah. I mean, and you're with learning every single day, I'm sure you've kind of learned some lessons along the way. And so kind of as we start to wrap up the show,
yep.
what are three lessons you've learned in your journey thus far?
Yeah. So a lot of kind of what I said earlier, expect the unexpected. Like, that's something to me, it's never going to go as planned, whether good or bad. You might have more sales than you thought, and then you got to figure out a storage issue, you know. Or I was there when it was really slow, or the opening weekend when cops tased people because there's 400 people and there was fight.
It
was nuts. It was nuts. It was after the game and there's just people everywhere. But expect the unexpected. Like, it's never going to go the way you thought it would, you know. Three things. The second thing, the one thing that I try and live by that we do within Smalls is people. I think it was Theodore Rose. I don't know who said it, but people don't care what you know until they know how much you care. So, like, you have to really show that you're passionate about it. And that's what we all do. Like, we try and learn. Everyone who works at Smalls has worked in those restaurants. Similar to what Canes does. We make our corporate staff go in and work shifts and understand what
fry
we
cook,
do.
Fry cook, cashier, yeah. VP.
We don't
accounting.
Have that label. That's Canes. But we try. We bring them in the restaurants and experience the restaurant life, you know, and really understand what they're working. You know, our chief marketing officer went and worked a lunch shift last week and just went and talked to people. It was just, that's so huge to me.
You have to know the process.
That's right. And that's understanding the vision of what we're trying to do and just the good people we have. And that's really caring. Yeah, they care. And then the third thing, just taking the risk. Like, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Like, I was 30 years old. And I would have been more upset with myself if I didn't do it. I'd rather fail at something that I like instead of not trying at all. So
absolutely,
even learning
when
that
a brand,
lesson,
a newborn.
That's right. Like, it was risky leaving a steady job to literally go and flipping hamburgers. That is a huge risk, but it was something that I knew I might not be the smartest person in the room. I don't want to be the smartest person in the room, but no one can outwork me. Like, I'm going to try and work the absolute hardest and be that. be that gold standard and show people that, look, I care. Why don't you come with me along this journey? And I think that's what's happened. So yeah, just never, don't be scared of taking that risk, you know, because it's still, there's still, the jury's still out on smalls. Like we're still so young, but I find if we just stick to who we are and try and keep and do it the right way, I don't even think failure is an option for us. You know, that's, yeah. It's just,
you want to work so hard, you won't let it fail.
That's right.
Know?
That's right. So,
and that's also goes to the point of there's never a perfect time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, imagine if your wife been like, look, we got a kid.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Why don't we wait a couple years?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And there's never a perfect time. You just have to go for it. You got to take the risk. If you want to do it, today is the best day to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, they're like, having that support staff too was huge for me. Cause if there was people that were like, really, that's what you're going to do, you know, but,
Sliders, Sliders, come on,
good
dude,
luck, man.
Dude, really?
But my, like my parents, I think they were basically our commissary kitchen, for the first 6 months when we had the food truck. I had everything there. Like my sister was all about it. My wife, like I said, never hesitated. And, but she understood what it was going to do to just, it was going to change how our family operated, you know, but all in, just that's smalls in, that's what we are. We're
smalls in.
But yeah, that's just the mentality we've had. And we know it's all about the journey and we have fun. And that's the lessons learned, you know, just don't be afraid to take the risk, always care and just expect the unexpected. COVID hit 6 months into us opening a restaurant. You know, like, granted, drive-through was an option that could stay open.
Drive-through, and you were,
but no one knew us.
Right.
You know, like our entire, we were slow for the first. I would drive home, and I would go and see Cane's, literally past the Winn-Dixie. I'm like, gosh, we're a block away. No one knew about us. You know, at the time, so that's when we had to go do grassroots marketing, and then our drive-through was the same way. You know, and just being consistent. So,
love that, man.
Yeah.
So, what is something you did as a kid you wish you could still do today?
Ooh. So this is actually, I was a huge, like I said, a huge sports fan. I was a huge Baton Rouge Kingfish fan, hockey fan.
Okay. I don't even know what that is.
You don't know about the Baton Rouge Kingfish?
I know we have a hockey team.
It was like a minor league team.
Yeah, I know we have a minor league team, but I don't really follow hockey.
So I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And I mean, huge. I played every sport I could. And hockey, I got into it, and I started playing hockey. And I played hockey all the way up until high school, to where at the point where I almost moved to the north to play hockey in high school. Like, I was kind of
good. People that enjoy sliders are glad you did it.
That's right. That's right. So I absolutely had a I went to Nashville last week to go to a Predators. Dallas Stars were like my team growing up, outside of the Baton Rouge Kingfish. So the Stars were playing the Preds in Nashville, and we went to the game, and it was just a huge hockey fan. So I wish I could still play hockey. That was something that
I loved
hockey. Hockey was just, but I ended up, I was a place kicker on the football team, was my sport through high school and a little bit of college. So
you got to find your space somewhere.
That's right. That's right. Kicking was perfect.
So what do you,
one thing and do it really, really well.
There's the model.
That's right.
Find it, figure it out, perfect it.
That's right. That's
so exactly what do you love about Baton Rouge?
Man, Baton Rouge is just, to me, it's, I was born here, raised here, moved away for a little while after college and came back. But to me, just the Baton Rouge culture is so strong. Like with the colleges in this town, there's a lot of people that come to Baton Rouge for a short period of time and then leave. And everyone has their Baton Rouge stories. You know, like everyone wants to go to Coffee Call or go experience the Baton Rouge local spots. And then just being somewhat, pretty much an epicenter of college sports, you know, with LSU football, baseball, women's basketball, softball, gymnastics, everything that's going on in Baton Rouge is just exciting. I'm just a huge fan of it. It's just whenever you go somewhere and people say, oh, where are you from? And you say Baton Rouge, it's, you have a hour long conversation about it, you know, might be different if I was from Iowa. I don't know. Like, it's just, there's something about this place that it's just different. You know, it's the Louisiana, especially being in the culinary world, when you can talk, Louisiana is known for its food. You know, we love to eat.
That we are.
So that strikes a chord with people. And I think almost gives us a little bit more power behind a Louisiana owned restaurant, you know, is coming out of Baton Rouge, capital city. So I love Baton Rouge, grown up here. I love it. I love it. Just the local flavor, the culture, everything that goes on here is awesome to me.
Heck yeah, man. And you're building what hopefully will be a local staple.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
When you're in Baton Rouge, you got to stop at Smalls.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we get
it's a quick drive off the interstate for coming from the bridge. That's just right. Hit them down there at that Nicholson location.
Oh, man. You have no idea how many people we would see. Like, we drove from Lafayette today to come eat Smalls. Or, you know, this is our normal. We come from Gonzales to eat here. Can't wait for the Prairieville location to come up. So, yeah, it's fun to be part of a city that has so much history and culture to it. I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heck yeah, man. So for the final question, what can I do to help?
Man, be Smalls in, I guess.
We're Smalls this small Saturday, man.
Live the brand. We want to create kind of that when you were talking about swag, we just want to create that lifestyle brand that people can attach to and where people can get Queso Craver socks and snapback hats and different jackets, like just being a part of the brand, just promote the goodness of Smalls, you know?
I love that.
We might not be perfect every single time, but that's what we're trying to do. No one's perfect, but we're trying to be perfect for guests and trying to do this the right way. And so it's exciting to be.
So long as you work at it every single day to get perfect.
That's right.
Look, if you need some body billboards for swag, I volunteer.
We might
tribute.
Have to drop some off. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Jacob, for coming on, man. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's getting busier than ever for y'all, so it's exciting. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Yep.
I appreciate your time, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Look for us. We'll be in hopefully towns near you in Louisiana very soon, maybe Mississippi, Texas. So we're growing, and this is fun for me. I've never done a podcast stream, anything. So this is fun. I appreciate the offer. Had a blast.
Absolutely. I'm glad we're able to get here on this Mardi Gras Tuesday, this Fat Tuesday,
yep.
And
absolutely
share the story. So, and for everybody listening, you can go check them out. They've got two locations active right now, opening lots and lots more. So if you're on the Blue Bonnet and Perkins, they've got a location there in the shopping center with Rouse's and Buffalo Wild Wings, and then also on Nicholson right across from Tigerland, right there in the heart of LSU. So thank Jacob so very much for coming on the show. Thank y'all so much for listening or watching whatever platform it is that you're consuming this on. I really appreciate it, and I know the guests do. Y'all make this possible by sharing the show, liking the pages, following us, telling people about us, and who we're bringing on is all very exciting. And also wonderful thanks to our amazing sponsors for making this happen. Falaya Focus Studios, that's where we record all the shows. That's where we're coming to you live from. Jacob behind the boards, the other Jacob, not Jacob Dugas, does a really great job of production and producing the show. Big thanks to Government Taco. They're right there on the corner of Government Street and Jefferson. If you're in the mood for a little bit of some Mexican cuisine, they've got a new taco of the month out there and a new cocktail of the month to go with them. Make sure you go and check them out. And also to Currency Bank, they're a local Baton Rouge-based bank. They've got some local investors bringing the business forward. They are the business bank. If you got a small business or even a large business and you're looking for someone that cares, Jacob tonight from Smalls talked all about company culture. Currency Bank is there bringing that personal touch, that personal flair to your banking experience. And also Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge. We had Nick Pintus last week talking about company culture and talking about his employees and the products that they serve. If you're in the market to either look for a new job or you're looking for a place to get around town, be sure and go check out Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge. And finally, to Horizon Financial Group. We're going to hear a little bit of a message from them after the show. And I'm Patty G, host of the Patty G Show, here with Jacob Dugas of Small Sliders. Thank y'all so much for sitting and watching. And Jacob, thank you for sliding through,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for sliding through. We appreciate it. I'll see y'all soon.
Yep, and we'll see y'all on the next one.
At Horizon Financial Group, we enjoy helping others achieve greater confidence, clarity, and direction in their lives. We realize everyone's path to financial success is unique. Sometimes you just need a friendly guide along the way. Whether it's customized financial planning, individual wealth management, or servicing your company's retirement plan, we've got the team with the experience to help you reach your goals. Horizon Financial Group, helping you provide, protect, and prosper for those counting on you. Visit us at horizonfg.com. Cetera Advisors LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is a separate entity.